Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Oh, there we go. All right. I have to say that I am going to preach a message this morning that is not real deep, okay? Fred did that this morning. I mean, I have to tell you, we first got introduced to your church when Fred called my wife at Maranatha. My wife and I are both on staff at Maranatha Baptist University, formerly Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And my wife gets this phone call, says, I don't know if he introduced himself to his Fred or whatever, and he says, and I just saw this state trooper pull into my driveway, this car. And can you imagine a mother of a state trooper, all right, with a phone call like that? I don't know if I'll ever be friends, Fred. Fred's friend. I'll get it right here in a minute. But anyway, it is our privilege to be here. Our main objective here is to come up and to spoil two of our 9 grandchildren. I know we don't look that old. It's probably my hairstyle that helps you to understand that. But it is our joy to be here. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, if you would, please. Joshua chapter 1. We have been in the ministry for a number of years. We both graduated from Maranatha back in the old days, back in the 70s. And we're both alumnus of Maranatha. 15 years ago, the Lord directed us back there. My wife is the office manager in admissions. I am the director of financial aid, trying to help students establish a way to pay for their education, etc., those sorts of things. We were in the ministry prior to that, all the way from Illinois to New York to California to Indiana and parts in between. As a member of the staff at Maranatha, I often have the opportunity to go out and do pulpit supply or do some interim work helping churches, kind of in a situation like you are, and in regards to kind of keeping a continuity in the church while they're in search of a pastor. And you have been in our prayers, and we will continue to pray for you. I do appreciate our son. He has surprised us. We listen to his sermons and we're going, that's our boy, you know, not quite that way, but anyway, we are proud of him, if I can say it in the right term. And I know that he is doing a good job here, and you folks appreciate he and Callie and the kids, and we want to say thank you for accepting them. And continue to pray for them, if you would, and us as well, if we continue to pray for you. This morning, I'm just going to kind of, Brad called me and asked about the possibility of speaking, I told him, I says, usually what I do is when I go into a church, I have kind of a theme for the day, okay? And so we're just going to talk about the concept of thinking and acting biblically. In the discussion this morning in Sunday school, one thought kept coming back to my mind there in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and it was this. They did not retain God in their hearts. And that's kind of the center of what the topic is in the society that we live in. And I want to challenge you as individuals. We have before us, many of you hold in your hand, whether it's in a printed form or in a cell phone or however, we have a copy of the Word of God. And we have a copy that God has given to us for instruction and guidance in our lives as individuals. I believe God has given to us the Word of God for two particular reasons. I'll come to those in a moment, but I want to read, I want you to follow as I read two verses here in Joshua chapter 1. The setting here is that Moses has passed away, and God now has appointed Joshua to lead the children of Israel. He says here in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And he talks about everything, every place they step, everywhere they go, God is going to be with them. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that I command thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Thou mayest prosper with whithersoever thou goest. Now look at verse 8. God has preserved us in his word as he announced this to Joshua and the children of Israel for us as Christians today. In fact, Romans tells us that God has given us the Old Testament and the teachings of the New Testament for our learning, for our understanding. So it's not just written to Joshua. God preserved it for us, and he says this book of the law, And when we talk about the book of law, we're talking about the Bible, God's word. He says, this book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth. You shouldn't lose it. There's no contact with it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. God says, listen, folks, I've given you my word. Look at it, meditate upon it, think about it, observe to do whatever it says in it. And then he says this. Look at the rest of the verse. I'll make you tall, dark, and handsome, rich, and famous. I'd be left out in the dark, let me tell you, okay? Here's what he says. He says, meditate, observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And he's talking about the Christian life. He's talking about living in such a way, in accordance to God's word, that God will bless us in our obedience to the word of God. And he says this in verse 9. He says, have not I commanded thee? He doesn't say, you know, folks, if you feel like it, you know, just kind of do it as a pastime. He says, have not I commanded thee to observe this book, to do what it says. And he says this. He says, here's the result. Be strong and of good courage. Neither be thou afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I'll make you prosperous in your life. I'll help you to grow and give you good success. They did not retain God in their hearts. May I challenge you today, as we think about that, that we would strive to retain the knowledge of God and put it into practice. Practicing the principles of the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to the truth of your Word. I pray, Father, that you would give me the right words to say. You'd guide me by your Spirit. And Lord, that today we may be an encouragement, a help, a blessing, that through your Word, each of our lives would be challenged to walk closer to Jesus Christ. That each of our hearts would be challenged, if there need be that of change, that we would change and follow your word. Lord, we are susceptible to any sin that rampant in this world. But by your grace and power, we ask your Spirit to protect and guide us as we put our faith and trust in you and your word, that we too might see your guidance in our lives, and that we would see our lives, our families, and this ministry be successful for the cause of Christ. And may you be honored through this time together, we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned that I believe God has given us the Word of God for two major particular reasons. And you can debate that back and forth if you want, and I think a whole lot of truths of God's Word falls into these two categories. The first one is this. I believe that God has given the Word to the world to draw sinners to the Savior. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says, the law, the word of God, was our schoolmaster to draw us or bring us to faith in Christ, to draw us to the Savior. Those of you here, and I trust each of you, if not, I would ask you to consider strongly the truth of salvation. But I would assume that each here know Christ as Savior. When you got saved, somehow, wherever it was, when it was because somebody or something happened to your life to draw your attention to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God has given us the Word to draw sinners to the Savior. I was 18 years old when I realized that truth. In a small church in Constantine, Michigan, way out in the sticks. Now, not quite the sticks like this. I mean, this is a little different than the sticks, okay? When we drive through Watertown, we live in a little cul-de-sac that has some trees, and we thought, man, this is a good place to live. It has trees. But we come up here, and we're like, where's the houses? Okay? But the truth is, God has given us the Word of God to help us to understand and draw us to the Savior. But he just doesn't leave us there. Once we get saved, God expects us to grow to maturity that we might serve Christ. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 6 very quickly. Hebrews chapter 6. And here's where I want to put our emphasis today. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. God gives us, through the author of Hebrews, who people to debate who that is. It doesn't really matter. We have the written word of God. Hebrews 6:1 says this, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto" what? Perfection. Perfection. That word perfection means maturity or growth. God says, once we're saved, let's just not sit there on the concept of, yes, I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you. I'm going to heaven. When you hear that, what do you think? Oh. Okay, oh, there, going. All right, we got one, all right? The idea that God saved us if we have put our faith and trust in Christ. And when we die, we'll be in heaven forever. I got another little one over here. That's, you know, it's coming, okay? In other words, are you glad you're saved today? All right, there we got it, all right? But God did not say, okay, now that you're saved, that's all I want for you folks to do. Because he says here, leaving the doctrines of Christ, it doesn't mean get rid of the word of God. It's meaning move on from your salvation. Peter tells us in Peter 3, verse 18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Fred made reference to that this morning, that when he got saved, he had a lot of baggage. Most of us, when we get saved, we have a lot of baggage. Unless you're saved young, all right? And it's a process of growth. That's why the word of God says that when we get saved, old things are passed away. That word passed is an active verb, meaning it is a continual process. Somebody mentioned the fact that all of us could be tempted in the way of what we talked about this morning in Sunday school, but only by the grace of God and his power and his strength and his help that we can escape that and live for Christ. And so that's what I want to challenge you about. We have the written word of God, and God says, don't just look at it for salvation, but move on. Study the word of God. Learn the word of God. Observe to do all that is written therein. And we have the word of God, and I believe we need to take God's word and put it into practice. I want to give you a little outline today, something very practical that I would believe helps us, if we put it into practice, to live according to the principles of God's word. Putting the principles of God's word into practice. Now, when I say principal, I'm not talking about that guy that's the head of the school. Now, when I was in high school, I used to meet with the principal up close and personal on a few occasions. We won't go into details, okay? All right? I was saved after I was out of high school, but I can remember going to the principal's office, Mr. Warfield. I'll never forget his name for some reason, all right? But the concept is not that. We're looking at principle is meaning, used in the scriptures, is our code of conduct, as it were, our lifestyle. God says in his word that there are certain things that we need to take in God's word. And in order for God to use his word to help us to grow maturity, we must put the Bible into practice. So let me give you four very brief things here. I understand that the preacher last Sunday preached kind of long. I won't go into details on that, okay? But rest assured, I've always been short in my preaching. It's kind of one of my qualities, okay? You got it. All right, he's the only one that got over here. All right, that's all right. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 34. Now you're learning. Okay, now you're getting it. Okay, it takes Arlene a little time because she's from down south. Okay, and by the way, this is my wife Donna with two N's. Okay, you can ask Arlene about that later if you would. Okay. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. God tells us in this word, he says here, look at it, Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. He says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and what? What? Read. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. If we're going to put the Bible into practice within our lives, if we're going to observe to do according to all that is written therein, we must know what it says. And God commands us to read the word of God. We need to take God's word and read it. I trust and I challenge you that if you are not regularly reading the word of God, that doesn't count coming into Sunday school and reading a couple of verses together. I'm talking about outside of the church, in your homes, with your children, all right, with your reading the word of God. Why? Because when we read it, we learn what it says. Now, it may take some study to get some of these other things to understand, all right? But God says we are to read it. I would say when I was 18, The very day after I got saved, was a New Year's Eve service, by the way. Sometime I may go into that story. But the very next day, I helped a gentleman and his family move to Camp Kobiak, a Christian camp in Michigan. And I had a couple of days off. I worked in the mobile home industry. I didn't have any real plans in life. I couldn't be a fireman. Didn't want to be a fireman. I was too short to be a policeman. That's another story. But anyway, the whole thing, I helped them move to Camp Kobiak. Knowing that I had just trusted Christ as my Savior the night before, the day we got up there, I slept in what they call one of the staff cabins. And Mr. Connick, who was very influential in inviting me to church, he said to me, he says, Randy, now that you're saved, you ought to take God's word and spend time reading the word of God, because then you can learn what God wants you to do in life. And I begin to build that habit. Now, I'm not saying that I'm, you know, somebody special, okay? But I have built into my life the habit of reading the word of God. For me, when I go to bed at night, I can sleep a straight 5 hours. Say 5 hours, that's not a whole lot of sleep. I'll wake up five, you can ask my wife, all right? But I'll wake up 5 or 6 hours of sleep, and if I want to, I can just lay there, wide awake. Well, maybe not quite wide awake, but anyway, I'll get up, and I'll go out, and I'll sit and read the word of God. I'll spend time praying. I'm not saying that to say, ooh, look at me, because I'm special. No, God says we ought to seek ye out of the book of the Lord and what? Read it, all right? In fact, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, God says that they who read the word of God will be blessed. In fact, Timothy instructed Paul, or Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13. He says, until I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation and doctrine. We are to read the word of God. In fact, Christ gives us an example in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, where it says that when he went back to Nazarene, to his own hometown, it says, his habit was, he went to church, went to the synagogue, and stood up for to read. He himself read, even in public, the word of God. The Bible says he was reading from the book Isaiah. I mentioned that I work in the financial aid office at Maranatha. We have what we call a financial aid brochure, okay? And it's just a brief brochure that tells people about financial aid, kind of on a brief. We tell them about grants, state and federal grants. We talk about scholarships, all different kinds of scholarships. We talk about loans. We don't talk too loudly about that, but that happens, all right? And then we talk about employment, because I tell students sometimes financial aid is spelled W-O-R-K. Okay? They don't sometimes understand that. But anyway, and then we tell them how financial aid works, what they have to do, and all of these things. I say, take this and read this. Now, why would I do that? I give it to them so they would know about financial aid. The same thing applies to the Word of God. If we want to know about God, if we want to grow in Christ, if we want to avoid the sins of the world, if we understand true to God, we must first of all read it. Look with me at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and look at verse 9. God says in Isaiah and other places of Scripture that we should seek you out of the book of the Lord and read. Psalm 119, verse 9, notice what the psalmist writes here. Now keep in mind that the psalmist writes under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. These are words coming from God himself, translated into our English language that we have before us. I'm reading from the King James Version, and it says this. Wherewithal shall a young man or a person cleanse his way? We get into a problem, get sin. How do we get it cleaned up? Notice what it says. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking what? Heed, therefore, to the word of God. So he says we ought to read God's word, but not only that, we ought to heed God's word. We ought to read it, and we ought to heed it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says that we should take care of the word of God and be attentive to the word of God, that those things that we have learned, we don't let them slip. We must retain God in our knowledge. We must retain God in our life and actions if we are going to bring honor and glory to God. I don't know if you know this or not. I know that you've been told, because I heard my son say it to you, that someday we're going to stand before God and give an account of our lives. Will we stand before God and hear, well done, thou good and
faithful servant in reading and heeding the Word of God.
Now, I don't mean to say that if we begin reading the Word of God on a regular basis and we begin heeding the Word of God as we ought to, then all of our problems are going to go away. We're not going to have any sickness. We're not going to have any problems. Our finances are going to be just wonderful. That problem we have with our neighbor, you know, by the way, neighbors, they don't have a problem with you. Where are you? Okay, they're okay. You're all right, okay? All right, all right. But my concept is this. We're still struggle in things of life. We have that old nature. We have that sinful problem within our lives that is there, and the Bible says something about the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If he could get us as Christians to turn from God, who? Or not read the Word of God or not heed the Word of God? Somebody has once said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Some of you have heard that before. This book will keep you from sin. In other words, if we read God's Word and heed God's Word, it'll help us to sin less. I didn't say it'll make us sinless, but it will help us to sin less. Thy word, the psalmist says, have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against God. We need to take God's word and read it, and we need to take God's word and heed it. We need to put it into practice. When I give out these financial aid brochures, somebody takes it and says, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Put it in my pocket, and they never take it out again. What's going to happen? What should I do about financial aid? Did you read the brochure? Brochure. Oh, yeah, you gave me one of those, didn't you? You understand what I'm talking about? By the way, we get those phone calls. I won't go into detail, okay? The idea is we give you some instructions of knowing about financial aid. Here's what you must do. Here are the government requirements. Here are the institutional requirements. Here's what you must do. God says, here's my word. I give it to you. Here's what you must do if you want to be prosperous and have good success. If you want your ministry to grow and blossom in the things of Christ, God says, take my word and read it and heed it. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. God is very adamant in his word about reading it. He's very adamant in his word about heeding it, putting it into practice. In fact, as you're turning there, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Some of you know this story. It's about a wise man and a foolish man. Now, I'm wondering if the kids can help me out here. All right? Do you guys know about the wise man and the foolish man? Okay? Do you know about that story in the Bible? Okay? He's already building over here, okay? All right? What did the foolish man do? Up on the sand. And what happened? Started sinking. The rains came. The storms of life came. And the house on the sand went kaplosh. He knows the story, all right? But there was a wise man, right? He built his house upon the rock, right? And when the storms came, what happened to the house on the rock? No, you got the wrong one. It stayed put. Why? Because it was on a rock. And the Bible says, and Christ himself says, that we ought to be like the wise man, to build upon the solid foundation, the word of God, Jesus Christ. That when the storms of life come, I rode the ferry across that three-hour tour. I told my coworkers at work, I says, we're on the ferry. We're taking this three-hour tour. He texts back and says, well, we hope you don't get lost somewhere on a deserted island, okay? I said, well, the way it looks up here, it might not be bad, okay? But the idea is that God says in his word that if we obey and do as the wise man did and observe and heed the word of God, we will be like the house, standing solid in the storms of life. God says, read it, heed it. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or chapter 9, excuse me, verse 14, look what it says. Even so hath the Lord ordained or put in motion. Word ordained means God has demanded this. He has put this as a directive. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach or proclaim the gospel, doesn't mean a preacher in particular, it means presenting or giving out the gospel, telling people about Christ, he which preached the gospel should what? Live of the gospel. Here's what God is saying in his word. We should take God's word and we should read it, we should heed it, and then we should what? Live it, according to this verse. He says we should take the word of God and live the word of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, where John writes, it says, he that saith he abideth in him, abideth in Christ, ought him so to walk, even as Christ walked. In other words, God says, when we become a Christian, we ought to walk like Christ. Look with me at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Some of you know these verses by heart. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. James writes and says this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. He's saying, listen, don't just sit in church and suck it all up, and, you know, like a sponge. Because if you don't do what we are to learn to do, we can be... Have you ever seen a rotten sponge, by the way? We won't go into details, okay? You understand what I'm talking about. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth this way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If we don't take God's word and read it and see what God says about it, sometimes we forget about that old nature and we let it take control. We do not retain God in our hearts. But he says here, for he that beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, God's word, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God says we need to take the word of God and live it. Not just read it and obey it for ourselves, but we ought to live it in other people, in front of other people's lives. Matthew 5, 6, God's word says, excuse me, he says that we are to be the concept of let your light so shine before men that they may see how wonderful you are. Some of you are awake, you're paying attention. It says that we should be like a shining light, he said, that we are to take that, the concept of the truth of God's word, and let our light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, God ought to see in us what people see in us. Ooh, wait a minute. Think about it. Do people see in us what God sees? Ooh, God knows our heart, doesn't he? Are we living in such a way that we demonstrate that we are born-again Christians? We are to live the Word of God. Now, I don't mean going around, you know, a pious attitude. I mean just not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When I got saved, God changed my life. And I've never regretted it. And I have made attempts in my life to live as I ought for God. I falter. I stumble. I make mistakes. I have to go to the Lord and to my wife often to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Or to somebody else. I remember years after I had been saved, or a few years after I had been saved, I said something to my brother, and he turned around to me and he said, you talk that way and claim to be a Christian? Oh. I went to him later and apologized. He said, oh, I understand. Right? I'm not sure that he truly does. Pray for my siblings. I have 9 of them. Some of them have professed to know Christ as Savior, but I don't know. Some of them, without a doubt, right? When I left home to go to Maranatha, to go to Bible college, to seek what God wanted me to do and to study in a Bible college, my brother, who is 13 months older than I,
went out to Las Vegas to seek his fame and fortune. He's called me many times in the middle of the night. Randy, I just can't handle this. What? Larry, you need to trust Christ as Savior. I can't trust anybody or anything. Yes, you can. You just won't. The truth is this. God says we are to live the Word of God. Let me give you a little story to illustrate and how, as a young Christian, this became so evident in my life. And I'll try to be quick. When I first got saved, we had a youth group, maybe about 12, 15 kids. We decided one time to go out to a banquet and just have something special to do. You know, it was the end of the school year and that sort of thing. And so we made arrangements with our leaders, and they kind of organized it. We went out to this fancy restaurant in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I mean, it's a big place, okay? Really, it's not, okay? But anyway, we went out there, and we went to this restaurant, and they had cloth napkins. Imagine 12 to 15 teenagers. Okay, don't get ahead of me now, okay? All right? Going into this restaurant, cloth napkins and everything, you know. And so we're all dressed up in suits and ties, the girls all fancy dresses and all this sort of thing. And we had decided after this meal, we were going to go out and go change and go out and do some miniature golf or something, you know, and get some dessert and all that sort of thing. So when we sat down to order our meals, and we told the waitress, we said, now, we're not going to order dessert. We're just going to order the meal. She said, oh, that's okay. She said, dessert's extra anyway. They said, okay, yeah, we're going to do that later. So we get down, and so we order the meal. We're, you know, talking. We're at this big table over in this one side of this restaurant. So we're talking, carrying on, and I'm sitting right across from the youth leader. We're talking. He says, okay, now, guys, it's time that we pray. Oh, okay, you know. And he says, Randy, I want you to pray. That was my reaction, by the way. He says, I want you to pray. I said, out loud? He said, yeah. He said, just thank the Lord for the food and ask him to bless our time. You can do that. Yeah, I know I can, but I want you to do that. Later, I found out he was kind of mentoring me, trying to help me to grow my Christian life. And I said, but there's all kinds of people in this restaurant. They'll see us. He says, that's okay. They probably won't throw anything. If they do, it won't hurt for long. You know, I said, so he says, I just want you. And all the other kids are looking at me, you know. I want you to pray. Okay. All right. Lord, thank you for the food. Bless, help us have a good time. Amen. Whew. All right. Whew. I guess it worked. So he said, see, it wasn't that bad, was it? I said, not for you. All right. But I mean, it's like we're talking in public. There's all kind of people in this restaurant. He said, it'll be okay. All right. So pretty soon the waitress brought our food out, and then we forgot all about it. You know, we're eating, having a good time. And then the waitress comes out with this big cart of dessert. You know how they have these, you know, give the big display? That's the kind of restaurant it was, folks. I mean, it was cloth napkins, remember? And so she pushes this thing out. She says, okay, everybody gets to order your dessert. Everybody gets dessert. And the youth leader said, no, wait a minute. Remember, we told you that we weren't going to buy dessert. She says, I know that. She says, but I got to tell you something. She said, there was an older couple in the corner back there. They're not here now. They left. But they called me over to their table and said, that group of teenagers over there, are they having dessert? And she said, I told them, no, they didn't want. They said, yes, they are. We want to pay for dessert for that whole table. I'm going, dessert? Do you have coconut cream pie? Folks, I have to tell you, there's only two kinds of pie I like, homemade and bought. Some of you know that, okay? All right. She says, yeah, we have coconut cream pie. I says, I'll have that. She says, and I just went there. They decided, they said to tell you this, that in all of their days, they were so pleased to see a group of teenagers not ashamed to pray before they ate in public. That was my second response. I thought, man, if it means going to a restaurant and praying in public, for coconut cream pie. Every time I go to a restaurant, I say, okay, folks, we're going to pray. No, I don't really, okay? I don't. But I do like coconut cream pie, okay? But you know what the lesson taught me? That we ought to live the Word of God. And if we put it into practice, we'll have good success. And I think coconut cream pie is good success, right? You understand what I'm saying? We are to live the Word of God. But there's one other thing. Let me quickly. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We are to take God's Word. We ought to read it. We ought to heed it.
We ought to live it. Look what it says in verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, excuse me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. In Samaria, where we live, all right? In Judea, in Samaria, in Kenya, all right? In wherever else going, God says we have to be a witness. You know what it means to be a witness? It means one who tells what happened. That's what a witness is. Look with me at Psalm 107. Let me give you an emphasis of what that means. Psalm 107, where it says a witness is one who tells what happened. In fact, in Mark chapter 5, you don't have to turn there as you're turning to Psalm 107. Mark chapter 5, verse 19, there was an individual during the time of Christ who trusted Christ as a Savior. He says, Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go. I want to be right by you and help you. He says, no. He says, I want you to go home to your family and your friends and tell them, that's a literal translation of the word, tell them what great things has happened and what I have done for you. He says, I want you to be a witness right at home. Psalm 107, verse 8, excuse me, Psalm 107, verse 2, it says this. Let the redeemed, those who have trusted Christ, those who are Christians, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Are you ashamed that you're a Christian? Are you afraid to admit that in public? When those things come about, that there's a discolored joke or a story, what do? Listen in so you might hear something good. Or when somebody says, as was often in my case, when I was in the military, and I appreciate those. We have a son, by the way, that's in Korea. He's a combat helicopter pilot. Pray for him. Things are a little tense over there in the Korea north and south borders, you know. Been to Iraq 3 times. But in that aspect, when the guys would go out, after I got saved, they would go out and want to party. Now, you guys go ahead. You know, you want to get sick and throw up later, that's up to you. You know, I'm not going. My point is this. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. To emphasize that, look at verse 8. Here's what the psalmist says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's pretty straight, isn't it? Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He said it twice. Look at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. 3 times he emphasizes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's not done. Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He doesn't say to Christians. I mean, it's good to give a testimony. He gave a praise testimony over here this morning. But God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to read the Word of God. We need to heed the Word of God. We need to live the Word of God, and then we need to give it out. My wife and I and family had the privilege of going from Buffalo, New York, where we served for a number of years in ministry, to Bakersfield, California. Now, for you folks living in Alaska, that's no big deal, okay? I mean, you travel all over the place up here. I mean, you got to take a plane to just get to Walmart, okay? I mean, in our house, I just drive 3 minutes and I'm at Walmart. You know, that's pretty good, all right? But anyway, we left our ministry there and went out and had the privilege of starting the Faith Baptist Church in Bakersfield, California. Right? After we got that set up and settled, we realized that it needed somebody to come in that had a mission-minded philosophy of ministry. And so we turned that work over to an individual and a pastor and his family. We came back then to Michigan, and I had to find a job. My family had to eat. Brian had to grow up, okay? He didn't do too bad, but anyway. And so I went out looking for work. I was not in ministry at the time, and I met an individual who owned and operated a Christian garage door company, right? Mansfield Marketing was the name of it, and all the family was Christians, and the brothers had gotten together and formed this door company, and I met him as our kids were playing soccer together. I said to Roger, I said, Roger, I'm looking for work. Do you know anybody that's hiring? He said, well, what are you looking for? I said, anything that's moral and pays money. I says, I need to feed my family. He says, what do you know about installing garage doors? What do you know about garage doors? I says, well, here's what I know. You push the button, and it goes up, push the button, and it goes down if it's working right. That's all I know. He says, good. How would you like a job? Really? He said, yeah. He says, we're starting our business. We're expanding. I need somebody to be on the road installing garage doors. I said, well, he says, we'll teach you. I said, okay, I'm hired. All right. So for several years, I installed garage doors, all right? And then I figured out how they went up without the button and down and all that sort of thing. Anyway, but one day I had gone down to Kokomo, Indiana. This was in Elkhart, Indiana. I'd gone down to Kokomo about an hour away. Somebody had called about a garage door because I got to sell the garage doors as well as install them. They actually made them, et cetera, that sort of thing. So I went to this lady's house and knocked on the door, and had this elderly lady comes out. Her name was Carrie. And she said, I said, hi, I'm Randy, introduced myself. And I said, you called about a garage? Yeah, I'd like you to look at my garage door. I think I want to buy a new one. Okay. So we went out, and she couldn't get the door open. I mean, she needed a new garage door. So through the whole thing, she decided to buy a garage door. We got it all set up. And I said, okay, Carrie, I'll be back next week to install it because we got to go back to the factory. We have to make it. She said, okay. And so the next week, I had all the tools in the truck and the door and everything, and I pulled it back in her driveway, knocked on the door, and I said, Carrie, I'm here to install your garage door. She says, okay, you can go ahead and start. I'll be out in a little bit. I'm going, out in a little bit? I never had anybody come out and help me put the garage doors in, before. They paid us to do it. So she came out with her lawn chair. Came in the side door, set it down in the middle of the empty garage and sat there. She said, do you mind if I watch you work? I thought, well, no. Garage doors go up, they go down. That's about all there is to it. I mean, it's not... And she says, and what I realized that here was an elderly lady that didn't have a whole lot of people to talk to. She was kind of reaching out, and I thought, okay, yeah. And the company I worked for, they didn't mind giving the gospel. In fact, they went to a good fundamental Baptist church in Elkhart and a couple other churches. So we're talking back and forth, and I'm working, get the all door teared down. She says, that's hard work, isn't it? I said, well, it does tire you out once in a while. She says, okay, I'll be back in a little bit. Okay. So I kept working. Pretty soon she came out with a tray of lemonade and cookies. She says, are you allowed to take a break? I says, whether I'm allowed or not, I am today. All right? So I sat down and we're eating these cookies and drinking this lemonade, and we just got talking back and forth. And I says, Carrie, do you go to church anywhere here in town? She says, yeah, I do, kind of, but I used to. She says, I went to church for 40 years in the same church, but I don't think they know that I'm still alive. I says, oh. I says, so... Make a long story short, I started talking to her about the gospel of Christ. And I opened the New Testament that I always carried with me, and I shared with her how that all of us are sinners. Romans tells us that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I showed her Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where it says the wages of sin is death. All right? And I took her to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and I said, God commended his love towards us. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin, meaning that if we trust him, we won't have to suffer in the flames of hell. I said, do you believe there's a hell? Oh, yeah, I know there's a hell. I said, do you believe you're a sinner? She said, no doubt there, And then I took her to Romans chapter 10, verse 13, where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I says, Carrie, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? She says, Randy, I went to that church for 40 years and I never once heard this. I says, Carrie, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? I says, you could do it right here in your garage. You don't have to be in church. She says, really? I says, yeah. She says, I would like to trust Christ and get saved today to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And in her garage in Kokomo, Indiana, I had the privilege of leading Carrie Reeves to the Lord. I tried to get her connected with a good church down there, and I went back to see her from time to time. Carrie, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I went back a year later, and I went up and knocked on the door. Somebody else opened the door. Yeah, you know the story. She passed away that year. And I said, Lord, thank you that I had the privilege of sharing with this lady the truth of Christ, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. Now, I don't say that to... Check another one off, man. I got that. I simply tell you that story to tell you this. No matter what walk of life you have, no matter what your occupation is, no matter where you come from, your background, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to tell people about Christ. I've had people laugh at me. I've had people mock me. I've had people slam the door in my face. Christ said to the apostles, shake the dust off your feet and go on. Folks, God gives us his word, and he says this book of the law,
this, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to thee according to all that is written therein. For then thou make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Folks, we need to take God's word and read it, heed it, live it, and give it out. And watch God bless. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth, for it is truth. And help us, Lord, despite the circumstances of the society we live in, help us to stand true to you. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid to read your word and heed your word and live it and give it out, that many may come to Christ as Savior, that they may see this church as a lighthouse, as a resting place, a place where they can come and be accepted and learn about Christ and accept him and grow in the grace of knowledge of Christ. Bring the right man to lead this church, Lord. Give them grace. Give them guidance. Strengthen them, we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just before we close and sing a hymn as we depart, let me ask you this question. I'm not asking for a raise of hands or somebody to get up and shout. I'm just asking this. Are you saved today? Do you know for sure that when you die, you'll be in heaven with Jesus Christ? If not, we would be happy to sit down with you and take the word of God and show you how that can happen, how it can change your life and give you the security of a home in heaven with Jesus Christ. Well, let me go on and ask this. Christian, God says, I've commanded thee. How's your reading of the word of God going? Are you living the word of God? Are you obeying it? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? May God challenge our hearts and refresh us to live for him. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Father, bless, I pray. Guide our hearts, challenge and refresh us through your word today. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.